Picture Winston Churchill in the winter of 1940, Britain standing alone against Hitler's war machine, reading handwritten lines from Longfellow sent by Franklin Roosevelt. "Sail on, O ship of state, humanity with all its fears, with all the hope of future years, is hanging breathless on thy fate." These same words had once comforted Abraham Lincoln during America's Civil War. Now they cross the Atlantic as a lifeline between two democracies, one fighting for survival, the other preparing for inevitable war. Churchill's response crackled over shortwave radio, "Give us the tools and we will finish the job." This exchange captures something profound about strategy. It's the art of matching grand dreams with stubborn realities, of knowing when to sail forward and when to wait for the wind. Think back to 480 BCE. Persian King Xerxes stood overlooking the Hellespont, surveying history's largest invasion force. After a storm destroyed his first bridge, he'd ordered the waters whipped and branded with hot irons, as if nature itself could be disciplined like a soldier. Yet suddenly, surrounded by his massive army, Xerxes wept. When his uncle asked why, the king replied, "Here are all these thousands, and not one of them will be alive 100 years from now." His uncle, Artabanus, pressed for honest counsel, confessed his fears. Greece's warriors weren't the only threat. The land and sea themselves would challenge an army too large to feed. Xerxes dismissed these concerns with a line that echoes through history: "Big things are won by big dangers." He crossed into Europe and marched toward disaster. Philosopher Isaiah Berlin identified a fundamental tension. Hedgehogs relate everything to one central vision, while foxes pursue many insights without forcing them into a grand theory. At the Hellespont, Artabanus the fox warns of stretched supply lines and weakened morale. Xerxes the hedgehog sees only glory. They find no common ground, and Xerxes marches toward catastrophe. Political scientist Philip Tetlock proved this empirically in 2005. After analyzing over 27,000 predictions from 284 experts, foxes dramatically outperformed hedgehogs in accuracy. Foxes stitch together diverse information while maintaining humility. Hedgehogs deployed big explanations with bristly impatience toward critics, and, when proven wrong, simply dug deeper into their preconceptions. Grand strategy aligns potentially unlimited aspirations with necessarily limited capabilities. Resources can never be infinite, while dreams potentially are. This applies not just to empires, but to individual lives, choosing careers, relationships, education paths. Grand strategy exists across time, space, and scale. The long walls of Athens, 6 miles connecting city to port, embodied a radical strategic shift. While Xerxes brought everything to Greece except coherent planning, Greeks knew only scarcity. Their fragmented peninsula forced specialization. Spartans became pure warriors. Athenians, wealthy from trade and silver, built formidable navies. Themistocles envisioned walls creating an island safe from land attacks, supplied by sea. Instead of cooperating against Persia, they nearly destroyed their civilization. Pericles, aristocrat, patron, commander, orator, led Athens for over 25 years and unleashed the Peloponnesian War. Themistocles' island approach meant abandoning land warfare, making farmers' properties expendable. Pericles promised to torch his own estate as proof of resolve. In his funeral oration, Pericles articulated Athenian distinctiveness, a democracy favoring the many instead of the few, with an assembly of 5,000 to 6,000 citizens, the largest deliberative body ever known. Unlike Sparta's warrior elites, Athens democratized warfare, claiming citizens who live exactly as we please were just as ready to encounter every legitimate danger. Yet Pericles grew rigid, believing intricate plans would unfold precisely as designed. He became a hedgehog herding foxes. When Sparta offered peace if Athens revoked an embargo against tiny Megara, Pericles refused 3 compromise attempts. This echoed Vietnam, where by 1969, America committed 543,000 troops, with 200 dying weekly. When credibility becomes paramount, capabilities must become infinite, or bluffs routine, neither sustainable. Sun Tzu's The Art of War connects abstract principles to tactical realities through natural metaphors. Water avoids heights, logs roll when round. Master Sun advises seeking advantageous situations, sailing with winds, avoiding battles until victory is assured. Success requires knowing the enemy, yourself, the ground, the weather. Like five musical notes creating countless melodies, basic forces produce limitless combinations. Augustus Caesar exemplified these principles, rising from modest beginnings to become the Western world's most powerful man by 32, he died peacefully at 76, unlike Julius Caesar, assassinated in 44 BCE. At 18, Octavian navigated treacherous politics by leveraging limited assets, pledging personal wealth for Caesar's bequest, manipulating Cicero through flattery, reframing a funeral comet as divine ascension. Unlike Alexander the Great, who died exhausted at 33, Octavian mastered balancing constraints with ambition. Following Sun Tzu's principles, he employed indirect approaches, feigned weakness, and avoided enemy strengths. Returning victorious in 29 BCE, he secured authority by appearing to renounce it. Augustus sought time as an ally. He didn't abolish institutions, but allowed time to reshape them, gradually transforming the Republic while providing evident benefits. Augustine, born in 354 CE, North Africa, invented autobiography through notorious self-portrayal as a great sinner for so small a boy. As Rome declined, despite Christianity's rise, he grappled with balancing allegiances to God and earthly rulers. In The City of God, Augustine argues free will requires managing unknowns while aligning limited capabilities with unlimited aspirations. His genius lies in focusing on tensions rather than sources: order versus justice, war versus peace, Caesar versus God, treating these as gravitational forces with human choices existing between them. Augustine saw states as necessary. Order creates space for faith to grow. He established war standards. Was there provocation? Were peaceful alternatives exhausted? Was violence a means, not an end? Was force proportionate? By the late 15th century, Machiavelli's Florence faced transformed realities. He feared human envy more than divine wrath, declaring, "God does not want to do everything, preserving human free will. Fortune governs half our actions, leaving the other half for us, notably assigning 0% to God's direct intervention." Despite differences, both agreed wars and states should operate by pre-specified procedures, connecting aspirations to capabilities through checklists rather than commandments. Machiavelli's most memorable scene describes Cesare Borgia executing his brutal governor. The bisected body satisfied rebels while deterring revolt. Both embraced proportionality. If force becomes necessary, don't destroy what you're trying to preserve. Abraham Lincoln, born in 1809 in a Kentucky cabin, commanded presence through his 6'4" frame and masterful oratory. He transformed awkward appearance into an asset through self-deprecating humor and storytelling that masked deeper complexity. Lincoln opposed slavery's expansion, arguing the founders had only tolerated it out of necessity, concealing it in the Constitution as an afflicted man hides away a wen or a cancer. Illinois' traveling court circuit provided his stage, where studying Euclid gave him devastating logical skill. Unlike rival Stephen Douglas, who sought compromise, Lincoln drew strength from contradictions. Though he lost the 1858 Senate race, their debates established national prominence and positioned him for the 1860 Republican presidential nomination. When war began at Fort Sumter, Lincoln demonstrated remarkable strategic insight, understanding that war must serve the state, not consume it. He balanced preserving the Union with eliminating slavery. In December 1862, he proposed a constitutional amendment to permanently abolish slavery, declaring, "In giving freedom to the slave, we assure freedom to the free." The founders had saved their new state while leaving descendants to save its soul. Lincoln inherited the Constitution's promise of a more perfect union, coexisting with slavery's legality, and finally resolved this contradiction, though at tremendous cost. Grand strategy demands holding contradictions, dreaming big while confronting limitations, combining the fox's adaptability with the hedgehog's conviction when principles matter. Roosevelt confessed, "I may be entirely inconsistent if it will help win the war." Lincoln wielded extraordinary powers while preserving democracy. Augustus secured authority by appearing to renounce it. These weren't perfect leaders. They were strategic geniuses because they understood that perfection is the enemy of progress. Timing matters as much as vision, and knowing what you don't know beats false certainty. The grandest strategies emerge from honest reckoning with reality, balancing order with justice, knowing when to push and when to wait. Grand strategy is the art of the possible in service of the aspirational, never confusing the two, always connecting them. As you navigate life's complexities, you will face contradictions and constraints. The question is whether they'll paralyze you or whether you'll learn to align unlimited dreams with limited means, bending always toward freedom, toward what's right, toward what's possible. That's grand strategy, and it's never been more urgent.